Make haste, O God, to deliver me. To be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. And consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. People of Tyre will seek your favor with gifts, the richest of the people. Gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. Your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Again, the Lord spoke to King Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the 4th chapter. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 1st chapter. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's always interesting in your life when you have certain memories that you recall. And one for me is from when I was in seminary. I was sitting in the class Major Prophets. And I can even remember where I was sitting in the class, and it was right after lunch, and it was hard staying awake at times. But we were going through the verses read just a moment ago from the prophet Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Much well-known reading, and we hear it every Advent. So as I was sitting in this class, my professor was telling us about when he was serving a congregation for a time, and he would get together with other pastors in the area for the local ministerial association meetings. These were gatherings of pastors just from various denominations that would meet for coffee, and they just sometimes would organize community events like food pantries or other acts of service. So it was this time of the year, and he was at one of these meetings, and this was coming up in the lectionary, this passage from Isaiah. And so just in the casual conversation, this reading was brought up and asked about what people were preaching. So he, my professor, said he was preaching on the importance of the virgin birth. And at that response, many, if not most, of the pastors at the meeting scoffed at the idea, and they questioned him. They said, "You don't really believe that, do you?" And his response was, "Of course he did." And he also told them that they made him sick. Now, there's a bit of irony in all of this, too. So those pastors who denied that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary were refusing to believe the sign that was spoken to the wicked King Ahaz, who refused to listen and follow the Lord and his word. Yet God did speak to Ahaz, and Isaiah tells you, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.'" So Ahaz mocked God with this false piety that thought that he was above God, and that he could tell God what and what not to do, even when God said, "Ask for a sign." Ahaz said, "No." And so the text goes on to say, "And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.'" So God, speaking through Isaiah, proclaims that he would give his people a sign. He would work this miracle in their midst. And yet, just as Jesus proclaimed to the Jews who rejected him that they had been given the sign of Jonah, so too they would try to mock the Lord and his conception in and the birth from the womb of the virgin. In some ways, this miracle, this sign, rebuked and it shamed Ahaz and would be the shame of those who reject Christ. But for those who hear this word and believe, it's heard for the good and beauty that it is. Just as Luke recorded, the angel spoke to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now the purpose in all of this is not simply just to relay how unfaithful these pastors were at that meeting retold by my professor, but how it is necessary for us to listen to the words of Holy Scripture and believe them. You see, our sinful flesh, the folly and false wisdom of the world, and the attacks of the devil would have us mock the Scriptures and reject what God clearly teaches us. It happens with a text like this, but it's for all of God's word as well. Yet there's always that call to humility. When you read the Scriptures, when you hear the Scriptures, no matter who you are, a preacher, a hearer, it's God's word. We're not above it. Humble yourselves before it. But in addition to those things, something is lost. You see, there's great comfort in the promises of the Lord as prophesied by Isaiah and seeing them fulfilled in Christ for you. God did this work for your benefit. He promised he would be born of the virgin, just as he promised Adam and Eve in the garden after the fall into sin when he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, literally her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So the virgin birth is directly connected to the redemption and the atonement for sin made by Jesus on the cross that God promised he would deliver for his people. And so God's promise was fulfilled in the womb of the virgin. This young woman, Mary, who had no place of high stature, no fame, no wealth, really nothing in the eyes of the world, God came and dwelled in her womb. The fullness of time had come, and God came into the world. Was this a miracle? Absolutely. Virgin birth is miraculous. The angel went on to tell Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And so for you, dear saints of God, this messianic prophecy of Isaiah is no rebuke or no shame for you. It's quite the opposite. It lifts you up, it exalts you, and strengthens you who believe. Not only do you see all is fulfilled, but you see something about your Lord Jesus in all of this too. He's your brother in the flesh, only without sin. God promised he would be born of the virgin, and he was. And he is your God in the flesh. God's promises are always true, and he always keeps them. They're always fulfilled. Even the promises God has made and does make to you now, your Lord is Emmanuel. God has come to you. He is with you. He's also come to you in the very time of your life as you have been and are baptized into Christ. And as if that wasn't enough, your Lord gives you himself, his own body, his own blood for your forgiveness, life and salvation in his supper, here in time, and a foretaste of that eternal wedding feast to come. You take into your mouths the same Lord who was in the womb of Mary, who walked on this earth, who hung on the cross and rose from the dead. This is the faith that you confess in this life. This is the faith you confess with all God's people as it has been handed down to you and given to you as a gracious gift by the Holy Spirit. This is Emmanuel. And also learn from Mary and see in her a great example of faith as she bore the Son of God. Every Christian is called, you are called, to have that same mind and that same faith when you hear God's word. You respond like Mary, let it be to me according to your word. Mary is your sister in the faith who has gone before you. Mary is a saint, and you look to her as an example of the faith to mimic and follow in that same faith. She's not to be worshipped or prayed to, but as she testifies and points you to her own Redeemer. Your Redeemer. Her confession is the confession of her Son, the fruit of her womb. Her Son is the only begotten Son. And so Mary's confession is your confession. In Vespers, we sing the Magnificat, and we'll sing that in just a moment. And as you sing this canticle, that hymn of the Scriptures, do so knowing that God is faithful to his promises, even as he was born of the Virgin. God gave his people of old, and you a sign. The virgin conceived and bore a son. This is most certainly true. And your Lord tells you he is yours and you are his unto eternity. So join with Mary and all the saints speaking, living, and singing this confession every day. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Rejoice indeed in God your Savior. And God is still promising you today. Like the sign of the virgin conception and birth, the Lord also gave the sign of Jonah, who was expelled from the belly of the great fish. Jesus was in the belly of the tomb and burst forth from it victorious. And it was to the great shame of those who rejected Jesus. But just as you see the great glory that is the virgin birth, you see the glorious proclamation that it is, and what this means for you, that you are baptized into Christ. Those same promises ring out loudly. Because you see, the day is coming too, and will surely come soon, you pray, when you will rise from your grave. Your Lord will come in all his glory, and he will take you to be with himself. And what a glorious day that will be indeed. So until that day, cling to your Lord's word and sacraments and know that you are his, that your sin is forgiven, and you have been called his own. Cling and hold fast to God's promises and his miraculous works, knowing he did this for you in Christ, your Savior. For behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Blessed are you who have believed that word spoken to you. Amen.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, through your servant John of Damascus, you proclaimed with power the mysteries of the true faith. Confirm our faith, so that we may confess Jesus to be true God and true man, singing the praises of the risen Lord, and so that by the power of the resurrection, we may also attain the joys of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.